Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, much to the annoyance of Donald Trump, the flow of US companies choosing Ireland for their global headquarters continues. My next guest runs the international part of the cognitive AI company Partsall from Dublin. It provides a platform for companies, especially in the healthcare and financial services sectors, to help them weed out facts from AI opinion or speculation. In choosing to come here, the Partsall chief executive said, Ireland offers a rare combination of regulatory clarity, scientific integrity and entrepreneurial energy. John Callaghan is CTO and president of Partsall Global and is sitting in front of me. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit more about what Partsall does.
We are a cognitive AI company. And in simplest terms, what we try to do is we try to take the highest performance of human capacity and turn that into queries. So as you've probably seen with ChatGPT and others, you type in a query and the quality of the query oftentimes equals the quality of the result. And so what we try to do is we try to capture the highest performance of queries that people have. So someone like your position who'd be an expert in business, we try to capture the queries in that and make that into a bot. And then we'd have the bots go into the AI and ultimately extract premium value for that. So we try to close the delta between the what we'd call general queries, which most people would type in a ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm. And I think what's the best restaurant in Dublin
exactly,
or whatever. Yeah.
As opposed to how does a master chef cook something at that level? That's the delta between the utilization of AI at this point. And we try to close that gap.
And then once you've closed it, you close it on your platform and sell it to companies, or how does that work?
Yes, we do. What we attempt to do is we attempt to take especially right now in the financial services, legal, accountancies, healthcare, insurance, areas that deal with extreme risk, where you cannot have hallucinations, where you cannot have a lack of accuracy.
And you can't have data leaking out either.
You can't have data leaking out, but also are very high-performing areas. So we tend to think of low-hanging fruit of, you know, can we get a productivity tool in AI? That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the next level. We start to get true intelligence within the data stream. So that's ultimately what we do is we take those high-performing queries and a very unique data structure we've developed and sell those into those areas that are in high-risk but also high-reward areas.
I mentioned cognitive AI.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, John?
It's very simple. It's trying to capture human processes at a very high level and understand how the queries that you type into AI can be manifested in those areas to where they get to be a deterministic, almost algorithmic flow. Mm. So the thing with humans is we tend to operate in a very predictable pattern. It's fractal. We make a decision. That decision reduces the number of decisions we have to make as we go down the line, ultimately into execution. Mm. So that may sound a little complicated, but really all it means is that as we make a choice, our other choices are limited. Mm-hmm. And so what we try to do is capture the way human beings make decisions and simply apply those to a data structure that allows us to gain optimal performance and execution out of the data. That's all we do. And the difference between what a lot of mass market AI tools are doing and what we're doing is we're focusing really on the top level human performance. How do we get the areas, like I said, with yourself as an expert in business or with a master chef or with a barrister that may be top of their game, not focusing on the what we'd call, again, the low-hanging fruit of how do we change productivity, but on the very high-end pieces of being able to transform intelligence at the highest levels of human performance.
You work actually with manufacturers as well, including a yacht company in the Gulf. How do you work with people who physically make stuff?
It's really trying to optimize what they're doing. It's trying to see things they can't see in the data. So with a yacht company, for example, you're dealing with literally millions of components that go into a decision to whether you're trying to do the hull or whether you're trying to do the engine or whether you're trying to do a luxury seat. There are millions of things that go into those decision points, which human beings can't see. And that's what we used to call or still do call talent. The talent is being able to see something and saying, you know, X is better than Y, but I could have had A and Z. So we're trying to capture that process of what is that human talent that dealt between the productivity and the exceptional that we can put in there. So what we try to do is we try to, within the noise, find that risk and that reward that human beings seek and be able to make that decision, which ultimately people call talent. So that's all we do. If you think about it, is we're trying to capture the talent in the human experience. And so with the yacht company, we're just simply saying, how do we go in and make sure that we make those decisions at the optimal level so it doesn't look like it's a machine doing it, it looks like it's a human doing it.
Mm. Are you worried about the EU's AI Act? It's the first bit of major legislation worldwide. Does it make you a bit nervous?
No, I don't think it makes us nervous at all. I think it's a good step forward, in fact. I think one of the reasons we came to the EU and one of the reasons we love Ireland is because of the regulatory frameworks. They're very clear. It allows us to innovate within guidelines, and I think guidelines are necessary to control what could potentially be a very dangerous thing in AI. So, no, we're not worried at all. I think that what we're trying to achieve fits very much in line with what the EU AI Act is trying to achieve. And so we want to be, again, good partners with the EU and AI in that sense. No, we don't look at it as adversarial at all.
Of course, the Act does focus on the inputs, as in the large language models, for example, and the data that goes into it, making sure that they are fair, that they're transparent, and they're not biased towards one group or against another.
Yeah, I think that's all very laudable in terms of what's going on. And I think transparency is a big deal at this point. I think transparency in what's happening within models is a must if you actually want to use them for high performance. As we continue on, I mean, would you think about whether we talk about healthcare or whether we talk about military? Would you want to use a model where you didn't know how the model is making the decision?
No.
That's a very scary premise there. I mean, I think if you walked into a doctor's office and someone said, well, today we only have a 1 in 5 chance for making a mistake, congratulations, you'd be quite scared at that premise. And imagine if that was to drop ammunition on something. That's beyond scary. So I think the transparency is a must if we go forward with this.
Is there a danger that companies just bolt on the word AI onto their business model and that they hope that it'll increase their model, that it devalues the artificial intelligence involved? There are quite a few companies that say, oh, we're an AI company now. And then when you drill into what they really do, I'm not sure the business model has changed that much.
I don't think it's a danger. I think it's a reality. And I think it's a scary reality because always in business, you're going to chase the dollar or the euro in this case. But I think what's happening right now is that every company sees if they put AI on there, they're going to have some sort of market swing. I mean, in the United States, what we see is if you put AI on a product, all of a sudden your stock rises because people think you're doing something, quote, intelligent. And ultimately, what they're doing is they're taking usually an LLM, which we all commonly
know.
Large language model. And we have OpenAI that does those, and we have Google that does those, and we have Anthropic that does those, And what ultimately happens is they put on a user interface, a nice shiny piece in front of it, and it's the same thing behind the scenes. And it's very scary because, again, people think they're getting something they're not actually getting. And I think it's very important for people who are in any sort of business to look and see, what does this actually mean? What is that actually doing? How is it constructed? Which gets back to your transparency point.
John, thank you so much for coming in and joining us. That is John Callahan, the CTO and president of Partsall Global. Thank you very much.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.